Well, we have been discussing the term Judeo-Christianity, and we have seen that Judaism has absolutely nothing in common with Christianity. We have also seen that Christ had nothing good to say about the Jews and Judaism. But now it's time to turn our attention to the subject of the Jews. Just who are these people? Are they really the chosen people of God? And the answer is that the Jews of today are not God's chosen people. That's right. I said the Jews of today are not God's chosen people. Now, interestingly enough, most people do not even have a good definition for the word of Jew. You see, the word is Jew, that is not a Hebrew or a Greek word, but it's an English word. That's right. It shouldn't even be in the Bible. In the original King James Version of the Bible, the word was spelled I-E-U-E-S. The transliteration from the Hebrew is Y-E-H-U-D-I, and this is a derivative of Y-E-H-U-D-A, which is Judah. The first word, that is Y-E-H-U-D-I, should be viewed as being a portion of Judah, and not all of Judah, or simply a remnant of Judah. It also seems to be a common misunderstanding that Abraham was a Jew. But now stop and think about this for a minute. If Abraham were a Jew, this would mean that all of his descendants were Jews, including Ishmael. Which would mean the Arabs are Jews. But I want to tell you something. Before you call an Arab a Jew, you better have your estate in order. If Abraham's son Isaac was a Jew, then Jacob and Esau would also be Jews. However, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and his sons became Israelites, not Jews. Esau married wives other than from his own kind, and his descendants became Edomites. They didn't even become Jews. Now, Jacob had 12 sons, if most of you remember, one of which was named Judah. But Judah, like Abraham and Isaac, was not a Jew. Neither was the entire tribe of Judah Jews. And as will be shown, Israel and Judah were carried away into Assyrian captivity. It was only a remnant of Judah and Benjamin that remained for Nebuchadnezzar to scoff up and to carry into Babylonian captivity. And since the lead tribe of the house of Judah was the tribe of Judah, the remnant upon return from Babylon became known as Jews. It's just that simple. Now, it's not unusual to hear people refer to the ancient Hebrews as the Jewish kingdom, the Jewish tribes, and etc. However, the terms Jewish tribes simply do not exist in Scripture. You can look there to your heart's content. It is not there, folks. Using the Old Testament as a guide, it is correct to say the kingdom of Israel, or the 12 tribes of Israel, and their division, they should be referred to as three separate entities as follows. Number one, the house of Israel. Number two, the house of Judah. And number three, Jerusalem, or the inhabitants of Jerusalem. But perhaps I should explain this in just a little bit more detail. Let's look at Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. Originally, if you remember correctly, there were 12 tribes in the nation of Israel, and there was only, again, one tribe, and that named Judah. The nation of Israel was later to split into two houses, the house of Israel, which consisted of 10 tribes, and the house of Judah, which consisted of two tribes. And the two tribes in the house of Judah were the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. But nowhere in Scripture will you ever find a tribe of Jews or a house of Jews. It simply is not there, folks. Now, from 745 to 714 B.C., both the house of Israel, that is the northern 10 tribes, and the house of Judah, that's the southern two tribes, were carried off into Assyrian captivity, which left only a remnant of Judah and a little bit of Benjamin and a few Levites within the walled city of Jerusalem. And there's your three elements again: the house of Israel, the house of Judah, and the city of Jerusalem. The remaining inhabitants of Jerusalem would include the king line of the house of David, the Levite administrators of the nation and city, remnants of Benjamin, and a smidgen of whatever tribes who may have been able to flee to the city during the captivity years. And there they became city dwellers, in Jerusalem, of course. Scripture records for us that of this remnant that was in Jerusalem, 14,600 persons, and that's all, went into Babylonian captivity from Jerusalem. No more. In contrast, the Assyrians captured 1.2 million people from the houses of Israel and Judah, while the Babylonians, again, only captured 14,600 people from the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That means there were 83 Israelites in Assyria for every single person who went into Babylonian captivity. This means that 98% of the kingdom of Israel was in Assyria, not Babylon. And with few exceptions, neither or none of the 98% who went into Assyrian captivity or their descendants ever returned to the land of Canaan. It probably wouldn't hurt us to keep in mind also that when the Assyrians captured the land of Canaan and moved the Israelites out, they did not leave the land barren. The Assyrians moved settlers into Samaria from other areas to live in vacant cities. That's right. Makes sense, doesn't it? These people were primarily Hivites and other Canaanite peoples and Samaritans from Babylon who had previously been displaced by Israel's occupation of the land, of course, when they came out of Egypt and conquered the land. Now, this movement is recorded in chapter 17 of the second book of Kings, and there it's stated, this is chapter 17, verse 24. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, and etc., and etc., and etc., and he placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. Now, these people brought with them a different form of government from the Israelites and their own brand of religion, which was pagan, in that they worshipped Baal. And after their arrival, they assimilated the local population into their race and religion, and these people became known as Samaritan Canaanites, who, according to 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 25, feared not the Lord, and therefore the Lord sent lions among them. Well, of course, they didn't like these lions, and they complained to the Assyrian king, who commanded them to carry thither one of the priests whom he brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. You see, gods went with the land. And they did so. However, it was to no avail, because they continued to worship their pagan gods, and as a result, verse 33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods. You see the problem? They feared. They understood God, they believed God, and they served their own gods, which is like no belief. It's unbelief. Now, these Canaanites were so wicked that they didn't even obey their own religious laws, much less the Lord's, for we were told in verse 34, unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law or after the commandments which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. So they didn't even do their own laws justice, nor did they obey the commandments of the Lord. Neither one. So in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 41, we're also told, so while these nations feared the Lord, they also served their idols, their children likewise, and their grandchildren, as their fathers did, so they do unto this day. So it was these descendants of these Sumerian Canaanites, or Samaritan Canaanites, who were living in Palestine when Ezra and Nehemiah returned from Babylon to rebuild the temple. These people had their own form of civil government, and by this time they feared the Lord. That's right, they feared the Lord. That is the Hebrew God, whom they called Jehovah. But what did they do with their religion? They didn't practice the religion of the Israelites. They continued to practice their Babylonian mystery religion, which they had brought with them when they were moved into the land of Samaria. Thus, it should not surprise us at all that Jeremiah said in approximately 600 B.C., this is Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 13, and I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. You see, they're not prophets of God. They're not prophets of Israel. They're the prophets of Samaria. They're the prophets of the Samaritan Canaanites. And they prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. This, then, is the situation in the land of Canaan in the city of Jerusalem when the remnant in Babylon returned to the city of Jerusalem. And from this time forward, the land around Jerusalem was referred to as the land of Judea, not the land of Judah, J-U-D-A-H, but the land of Judea, J-U-D-A-E-A. And anyone who lived in the land of Judea became known as Jews, regardless of their heritage. We know this from Josephus, the historian. He confirmed this when he wrote the following. So, Jew is the name they are called by from the day that they came up from Babylon, which is taken from the tribe of Judah. which came first to these places, and thence both they and the country gained that appellation. That's right. That's what Josephus tells us. He also tells us, wherefore there are but two tribes in Asia and Europe subject to the Romans, while the 10 tribes are beyond the Euphrates till now and are an immense multitude and not to be estimated in numbers. The two tribes of Judah and Benjamin are referred to here by Josephus, but it must also be remembered that the majority of the tribes went into Assyrian captivity. So I think now it can safely be stated that some Israelites, that is the remnant of Judah and Benjamin, could be called Jews because they resided in Judea. But not all Jews, that is the Samaritan Canaanites living in the land, could be called Israelites. It could also be stated that prior to the return from Babylon, once again I want this clear in your minds, prior to the return from Babylon, there was no such thing as a nation of Jews. There was no such thing as a land of Jews. There was no such thing as a house of Jews. The word didn't appear on the scene again until after they came back from Babylon, and at that time it was spelled I-E-U-E-S in the English, and it meant a remnant of Judah. It did not mean Israel.